Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming to you live from beneath the ruins of Alf, it's Puckle Movie Club.
And welcome to Puckle Movie Club. I'm your host, Ethan, here today with my co-host,
Lord Jishiro.
And he's going to be kind of helping me through this. He's going to be taking me by the shoulder and pushing me along because I am a little woozy, let's say.
You're in a happy place right now.
happy place is one way of putting it. I got some mouth surgery done, so forgive any loud smacking or mispronounced words in this episode. I could basically only open my mouth 33%. Jushiro is feeding me with a spoon. It's quite something.
It's romantic.
It's definitely romantic. But yeah, we're here covering Pokemon Generations, the original video animation, or original online animation in the Pokemon franchise. And so you guys you're all probably pretty intimately familiar with it. It's been coming out for past few months now. We're approaching the end, and we're going to be covering the first 6 episodes in this episode of Puckle Movie Club. We just figured there's too much really going on to cover the entire thing in one episode. So yeah, we're going to split it up over several months.
Which means that they just have more of our beautiful voices to hear too.
Yes, and hopefully next time I'll be less mush-mouthed. Pokemon Generations 2016, done by Studio LLM. It was ordered by the American branch of the Pokemon Company to accommodate the releases of Sun and Moon, and to kind of, you know, build up interest in the Western audience. For what we know, this is unprecedented, because the American dub, or the English dub, came out first, and Japan was waiting for their chance to see it until earlier in December.
Yeah, until they didn't have any generations to see in Japanese until I think it was the 9th of December, not too long ago.
And I just think this is payback for all those years we had to wait for Pokemon games. So, you know, you could take a few months. Yeah, they came out for freezies on YouTube, which is really fun. And I think we're seeing a trend towards that in the Pokemon franchise, if you guys remember. Origins was released online for freezies. Interesting little rollout.
Yeah, it's part of their celebration, right? This is still part of them celebrating the 20-year anniversary of Pokemon, which was possibly the only good thing about 2016, was the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. And this was, I would guess, USA's contribution to the celebration, where they were the ones that said, hey, we want this made, and we want to dedicate these, you know, 18 episodes to every generation of Pokemon we've had for the past 20 years. So it's super awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice to have something just memorializing the legacy and the history of Pokemon. And yeah, so we're going to dive into that. Do you want to get right into episode 1 then?
Let's go.
Okay, so episode 1 opens with the classic menu screen that we all know and love from Red and Blue, much like Pokemon Origins did. And then we see Trainer Red, or I guess we're just going to call him Red. He throws out what I like to call Lumpy Chew in a battle against Caterpie. This is presumably somewhere in Kanto, by the way.
Yes.
And I say Lumpy Chew because he's really, like, forward heavy. He's got a huge head.
He's adorable.
Yeah, it's a really interesting take on Pikachu. And I'd say this is, like, the most off model that they get in this show. Because some of the designs are a little bit changed for whatever reason. But Lumpy Chew is what we'll be calling him. And so we go from Kanto and we flash forward to Johto, where Red is fighting Whoopers in Ekrotique.
Yep.
And it's actually this really interesting little battle on, I guess, a riverside?
Like a creek, I would say, close to Ekrotique City. He's following the Whoopers on down the stream and shocks them to his own shock that, hey, they're ground type.
I don't know. Ekrotique has a really inspired design in this. I don't remember what city it is in Japan, but there's a city that's notorious for its like beautiful rivers that just they incorporated into the city. And it reminds me a lot of that. I'd have to look it up. And then we flash forward again to he's fighting a Slackoth in the Weather Institute in Hoenn.
And
it's this little conflict on a bridge. It's pretty fun. I forgot to mention, each of these battles is abruptly ended by like the appearance of a legendary Pokemon. In Kanto, it was a Moltres?
I think so. No, I don't remember, and I just saw that today.
Or maybe it was Zapdos. I think it was Zapdos, actually.
Yeah.
And then in Johto, it's Ho-Oh. And then in...
Lugia, actually.
Oh, it was Lugia? God.
Yeah.
I just... Forgive me, the codeine. And then in Hoenn, it's Latios and Latias.
Yes.
And then we flash forward again to... This is a montage. This is all done in montage style. And we flash forward to Snowpoint Temple, where they are battling a Probopass. And this is in Sinnoh. And they get interrupted there by a...
Oh, Regigigas.
Regigigas, jeez. They get interrupted by a Regigigas. And then from there, we flash forward again to Relic Castle in Unova, where they're taking on the Volcarona at the end of the Relic Castle, which you remember, of course, from the games, which was actually kind of neat to see. That was actually probably my favorite sequence is this, because you can see, you know, they're crawling through the desert and then getting buffeted by the storm and stuff. It's really, yep. really fun.
It's really nice to notice also that progressively as the episode goes on, Pikachu gets more competent and competent as a fighter.
Oh, yeah. He's getting pretty tough by the end of this.
Yep.
So then we flash forward to Terminus Cave in Kalos, where we're taking on some Noivern, or a Noivern. And then what breaks him up there? I don't even... Oh, no, it was a Zygarde. It's a Zygarde complete form, is it?
Oh, the complete form at the end, yes. Yes. But I take that as Gen 7. Like, oh, this is their way of saying Pikachu's in Gen 7.
So then we pull back from there, and we go back to the Earth, and then we get the Pokemon Generations logo appears. This first episode, it's a big montage of, like, here's all these things we're going to be touching on. Do you remember this region? Do you remember this region? And the animation looks quite nice.
Service.
Yeah, it's basically a fan service montage, and it's like, get hyped, because there's a lot more of this coming your way. Yeah, so the animation looks very nice. I wouldn't say it's quite on, like, Origins level, but again, Origins was more of a traditional OVA, and this is just an online animation. And the battle choreography...
This is totally made by a different team, yeah.
This is a different team within OLM.
Yeah.
The choreography, what little choreography there is in this first episode, is, I mean, it works very well. You know, there's some thrilling moments. So it's a pretty short little first episode. Sets you up for what you're about to experience in the rest of the show.
Yeah, it really did show what it meant to be shown, right? When that is a little treat that celebrates what Pokemon is and why this is called Generation and now acknowledges all these different adventures that we've gone through the games that we're now going to be able to pay tribute in this series of 18 episodes that they're providing. And I really did like it. I like it a lot. It really got me hyped for the whole series. And I think it was very smart of them also that acknowledging that, hey, this first episode is great, but it might not be enough for first episode. So when they launched this, they actually launched it with the second episode as well.
Oh, okay. I did not know that it came out with the second episode. Yeah,
episode one and two was released simultaneously, and it was a great idea because many people would have watched this one episode and went, like, just like you said, it's like, well, okay, but this didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it doesn't really give much for an audience member who's not super familiar with the entire franchise. Like, you really need to be an old school fan to really appreciate a lot of the references and like where they go. But yeah, I wonder if it's almost like a warning, like, hey man, if you're not down with the Pokemon, you're not going to get much out of this.
It was good. One note I do have to have, and I have this issue. It's not really an issue, but it's a personal issue with Pokemon Origin, is the fact that they do not use their Pokemon names, right, when they talk. Pokemon don't say Pikachu or whatever they do. They make actual animal noises. My problem with that, I don't, as an artistic and what I like it, my problem is if you put animal noises on Pikachu and I see Pikachu getting his little tail whipped, I suffer more. Because I no longer view it as a, you know, fantasy character in a video game or a show. I now see it as an actual mouse being just completely kicked one side and the other, and it just pains me to see it.
It's less of a willing participant and more of an exploited animal.
Yes.
It kind of drives home that, like, it's teaching kids to fight dogs or whatever, you know, that hysteria nonsense. But I see exactly what you're saying. But anyways, you ready to move on to episode two?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so episode two opens with a very serious-looking looker getting briefed by some dude from the government on Giovanni.
Yeah. This looker means business.
Yes, he's got very, very serious shadows on his face. He looks haggard. The government, we flash back to the government taking down the game corner, which is apparently this Team Rocket's primary source of income, or one of their primary sources of income. And then they're investigating and interrogating Team Rocket members, and they can't get anything out of them because, as they mentioned multiple times in this episode or in this series, Giovanni is just too darn charismatic.
Giovanni.
They won't sell him out for anything. So then we flash forward, I guess, to this. Most of these episodes are montages, so continuity is kind of interesting.
There's a lot of jumping around on them. Yep.
So we flash forward to a raid led by Looker on the Viridian Gym because they find out that Giovanni is the gym leader there.
Spoiler alert.
Which is, how did they not know? don't you have to, like, register? Isn't, like, a pretty official thing? Or can anyone just start a gym?
No, but apparently anybody can start a gym.
You got enough money, man. blowing the whole thing wide open. But anyways, they do interesting things in this episode by having the Pokemon aid in the raid. Like, Magnemite picks open the lock on the gym, and Machamp and Arcanine take out some walls to help them get through, which is fun. I like it when the Pokemon are employed in some fashion other than fighting in the series.
It was a nice touch of seeing, like, oh, if there was any type of SWAT team in the Pokemon world, this is how they would operate. And they would use Pokemon instead of tools in order to do what they need to do. And that was a pretty neat look into the Pokemon world that really doesn't get that much explored in the regular anime series, where they're just trainer and battle-based only.
It's also nice seeing a competent police force in this series.
Describe how you would describe the competent, because at the end of the day,
so they get to the battlefield of the gym, and lo and behold, Giovanni's gone. He's escaped.
He's gone.
Yeah, so apparently this is when the reveal happens that they're like, hey, he was the gym leader here, but he only gave away all this time, and he only gave away two badges. And we know who those badges went to as the audience, so that's a fun, like, ooh, dramatic irony. So this is when everything kind of started to come into focus of me, like, what these episodes were going to be, which is they're just going to cover a part of the... Because I hadn't been paying attention to, like, much surrounding it. I just went into it pretty blind. So I was like, okay, so they're just going to cover different subplots from the Pokemon games, which is really fun.
It's those little parts of the game that you didn't experience, things that happened in the background while you were playing, and you only experience this by arriving at the place later on, or just because you were told this actually happened. So
exactly.
This is assuming that this is right after the player, Red, fights Giovanni, and then you leave, and Giovanni dismantles Team Rocket, and that's when the SWAT team comes in. Of course, we don't see that as players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how they take some different perspectives on events that we know very well. And this is the episode that really sold me on the art style. It's very, very crisp. And because they're putting all the episodes up in HD, it's like, wow, everything looks so premium. And I almost think that this is in some ways more true to the series than to the games than, like, the anime traditionally is.
Well, that was the point, yes.
It looks very nice, and this is a pretty solid episode.
I have to agree. I really enjoyed it a lot. The only thing it was kind of puzzling for me is Looker. That Looker is very different from the Looker from the games, which is less serious and more goofy.
Yes.
More of a goofball than anything else. But it was still nice seeing him play a larger role in this series. And it's not the last time we'll see him.
No, not at all. We'll be seeing him very soon, in fact. So yeah, you ready to go on episode 3?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so the Elite Four gathers, and they're talking about, this is the Kanto Elite Four, by the way. Gather, and they're talking about, like, how no one's gathered 8 badges in some time, and they're acting, like, surprisingly evil.
Yeah, and Lorelei giving this, oh, well, you're not going to be able to see him pass me, because I'm going to beat him, and... It was definitely a final boss vibe that they gave.
Mm-hmm. I think that scene's like underlit or something. It just kind of makes him look a little bit more intense.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Blue approaches the Elite Four and says probably my favorite line in the entire series so far, which is the greatest Pokemon trainer in the world. That is me. What a goofball. Blue's a major goofball. He's a he's a corny dude in this episode, and I love him for it. He goes in and makes quick work of Lorelei, and then he hollers some more. He's like, see that? I happen to be an incredible genius. Oh, he's great. He's great.
He's fantastic.
I think Blue is one of my favorite parts of this series so far.
Yeah, we can elect him as president at this point.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He just has to have a few more controversial views and we're there. In the Lorelei battle, there's a really interesting sequence where we get a POV of Lapras being taken down by Alakazam, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Which was kind of cool. It caught me off guard, and I didn't really know what was happening at first. But once I figured, I'm like, ooh, okay. POVs don't really happen very often in this series, so you know, different.
For those who don't know, POVs are a point of view, and that's usually used right when your eyes are the camera.
Yes, you're seeing from the perspective of the character. In this instance, it's Lapras, and the whole world gets flipped upside down as Alakazam does this, I guess, like a psychic suplex on him.
Yeah, psychic, probably.
So then we move on to Bruno, and Bruno yells. He yells in the beginning
by
of
the way,
battle.
Sorry, going back to Lorelei, I just love how she just says at the end, it's like, fine, I'll let you proceed. It's like, you didn't let him, he beat you.
What are you gonna stop him with?
Yeah,
your pokes are all wiped, man. It's over. We move on to Bruno, and the battle ends with Bruno's Machamp getting thrown onto him, and either this is a very small Machamp or Bruno is gigantic, because he gets thrown in the wall and they're like roughly the same size. And what is the size of Machamp, do you know off the top of your head?
Because I know he's huge and he's heavy,
so
he's not a small Pokemon at all.
This Bruno is just he's a flesh pillow, man. He's a flesh cloud. He's gigantic. But anyways, then we move on to Agatha, and Agatha taunts him. I don't remember what she taunted him. Oh, she makes fun of his grandfather, because his grandfather's Oak. And he's like, I figured you'd be completing your Pokedex. And he's like, Pokedex is just a tool on the way to becoming a great trainer.
He was so like, hey, don't compare me to that old man. I'm like, whoa, chill, Blue.
Dude, he's a legend.
Chill.
Come on, man.
Yeah, take it easy.
We don't even see how that battle ends, but we know he wins because he moves on to battle Lance.
Before that, though, we have to talk about that magnificent entrance that Gengar gave.
Right.
Where the Pokeball was on her staff or her walking rod, and she just knocks on the floor, and a shadow pops out of the Pokeball and appears as Gengar. How can we not have that on the game? Please.
It's a very interesting way of introducing him. Kind of reinforcing like the ghostness to him.
Yes, it was pretty epic.
Yeah, good stuff. Again, really great, very good choreography in this.
I guess it's because
we're getting spoiled. We're getting spoiled, I feel.
We are. And I think it has to do with the fact, right, since they're so short, they have time to pick on the details.
This also makes me think that the people making these are fans, if that makes sense. Like, I think we're getting to the point where people who are in charge of like the animation department in massive studios like this will have grown up with Pokemon and have like a reverence for it. Rather than it being like a churn out something studio, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of a labor of love at this point.
Definitely is. And it shows.
So we move on to Lance. And then Blue talks about how awesome his Blastoise is, as if he's never seen a Blastoise before. He's like, this one's really powerful. And it's like, I've seen a Blastoise before. I'm like 3 times as old as you. It's a Dragonite v Blastoise, and Blue does it. He defeats Lance, and he's become the champion of the Elite Four. And then he's sitting atop the throne, which I guess there's a throne at the Elite Four. There is, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, no, there's definitely a throne. In the game, no, but in this video, yes, there was a throne.
Because he's talking about, he's like, I'm going to sit atop the throne. And he does. And then we see Red approach, which is a perspective that we've never seen before. Again, we're getting like the story behind the story in these. So this is probably my favorite episode of the three so far. Blue is just an absolute monster, and I absolutely love him for it.
Yes.
Again, really, really neat POV shot. And while the dialogue is like weirdly clunky, I think it kind of adds to the weirdness of this whole thing. I like it. Yeah. It's an interesting aesthetic to have, because everyone's so bombastic, man. I like it.
But that's how they are, right? That's how the Pokemon universe are, and those Elite Four are that bombastic. In fact, the thing that Bruno screams at the beginning, he's like, show me your Pokemon, that's actually what Bruno says in the game.
Okay.
So they're also bringing actual, you know, lines from the game and and putting them on this on the show.
I love the eccentric genius of some of these people. Because they're all such characters. But so that covers the first three episodes. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Flops!
Hey, this is Ethan from Puckle Movie Club with a quick commercial break. Just letting you know that if you send an email to PucklePodcast@gmail.com, we will answer your questions. So ask us questions about what we think about movies, tell us what you think about movies, even just send us whatever you're up to. Gmail account is PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And we're back.
Hello.
And we're going to be reading a quick email for you guys. You can reach us via email at PucklePodcast@gmail.com and put in that subject line, Puckle Movie Club, and we will read your emails on the podcast. Next month, we'll be covering The Rise of Darkrai. So if you have any thoughts on that movie, hit us up about that. We've got some in the hopper waiting for that episode that are specifically related to that. So we will read those on that episode. But right now we've got an email from G Knight. So here we go. Hi guys, I've sent an email for the Puckle Movie Club before, but I often forget to sign my emails, and apparently it's become a thing at Puckle to ignore unsigned emails. Okay, so we're gonna start this email again. okay.
He's not wrong. Very important for you guys to sign your emails.
Okay, we're going to continue from here. Sign your emails, please, so we know who you are and we can give you credit, because we'd love to hear your voices. Apparently, it's become a thing at Puckle to ignore unsigned emails. Or maybe they're getting caught in a spam filter. No, they're not getting caught in the spam filter. As we just said, sign your emails, please. My first message for the Puckle Movie Club is as follows. Been listening to you guys talking about Pokemon 2000. Most of the dub edits were not warranted. 4Kids Entertainment is run by Dodo Heads, and I'm so glad they lost the rights to Pokemon.
You and me both, brother.
It was even worth losing most of the original VAs for it. The ludicrously excessive dub edits were not from cultural issues. It was typical four kids Tauros crap. I hope Winsicott understands this. To add, despite the dubbing errors in the ninth movie, the Pokemon anime is still way better off with Pokemon USA. Oh, and I enjoyed Jirashi Witchmaker. So there you go. I guess a lot of the dub edits are just for the sake of changing things?
I guess. Sometimes I believe either the joke... some edits are understandable, right? So if it's a cultural thing and we don't get the joke because we're not Japanese, then there is a merit to translate to something that maybe a different audience, such an American audience, can understand. But some of it is just plain ridiculous that doesn't really make sense the why they changed it.
Just changing it to, like, maybe make it a little bit more kid-y, if that makes sense. Because there's a certain... stigma in the U.S. in terms of, like, children's films and the level of humor that they can have, and, you know, if there's not a certain amount of jokes per minute, like, you need to kind of up that, and maybe that's what it was for. Who's to say?
And also, it doesn't help the fact that Nintendo has been notorious when it comes to censoring games that come over to the West, as they have been censoring, like, Fire Emblem and these games that... Obviously, in context, yes, some of the censorship are needed. I mean, you could fondle characters in Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not such a great idea for a game that you're making E for everyone. But still, there's some things that are like, really, does that need any type of censoring? I don't think so. They're just going that extra mile, I guess, to make it extra, extra sure that kids are okay. Or let me scratch that. Parents are okay with whatever they're doing.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. Is just keep the as few complaints as possible. The kids are going to watch it anyway. I feel like is the mentality, or was the mentality at least at that point.
Yeah.
And anyways, in regards to you enjoying Jirashi Witchmaker, G-Knight, I'm really happy for you. I'm glad you found enjoyment in that movie.
You're wrong.
There's no official opinion of the Puckle Movie Club in regards to that. You know, I was only one of three on that episode, so, you know. But I'm glad you found enjoyment, and I wish everybody could enjoy all the movies. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's a favorite for everyone, I guess.
Of course.
Yeah, Jirachi's just not that.
Yeah, I'm just racking my brain, like, what would even be my favorite of the ones we've watched so far? I mean, I guess, does Origins count?
I think Origins should count, though. It's not a movie, but if I had to choose from the movies that you have reviewed so far, I've Mewtwo Strikes Back still is my favorite.
Mewtwo Strikes Back's pretty good. I'll always have a soft spot for, I forgot the name, Rayquaza.
Deoxys.
Yes, I will always have a soft spot for Destiny Deoxys.
Destiny Deoxys, yeah. Me too. I agree with you there.
Really love the city in that. But anyways, yeah, so you ready to get on to the content of the episode? Get on to episode 4?
Oh, yeah, because now it's my favorite episode so far.
All right, here we go. So, episode 4 is an episode that follows Lance. We are at the Lake of Rage, and we have a flashback of Lance fighting a red Gyarados. And he's like, what could be causing this Gyarados to be so angry? He's just so furious all the time, and he's so cool. How can I make my Pokemon cool like him, too? I don't think that's what his actual goal is. But anyways, so Lance storms a Team Rocket strong... Go ahead.
Sorry. No, it's hilarious that he makes such a fuss of how rage Gyarados is when... Isn't Gyarados known for its rage?
That's
isn't
like
it
the thing.
Just being ragey all the time?
That's like the
it's
thing.
It's like being outraged because Ellen likes to dance. It's like, oh my god, Ellen is dancing. What's going on? It's no, Ellen DeGeneres just dances all the time. She likes to dance.
Who's pulling the strings behind the scene? Who's causing her to dance? And it's just, you can't stop her. You can't even stop her if you wanted to. She's a dance machine. You can lock her up, but her crazy legs will always go. Anyways, so Lance storms a Team Rocket stronghold, and he makes some quick work of some goons Pokemon, And then he approaches the general in this like control room where
can we talk 1 second about the lamest walk in anime history when the Team Rocket grunts were walking towards lands and they're all trying to look all smug and cool and just look completely horrible.
I loved that, actually. I thought it was really funny.
It was
like,
so bad, it was great.
I like people acting overly cool and being fools, so that was like candy for me.
It was just hilarious.
They're all mean. They're mean mugging.
Right? Either kind of like it was. It just looks so bad.
Oh man, I look because there's like a forced perspective thing going on there. I really liked it. I don't know. I thought it was really
they
charming.
They didn't make any efforts of them actually looking like they're moving. So they just look like they're walking in one place and not actually moving around. It was just hilarious. It was great. I'm not complaining. I'm just having fun with it because I just laughed so hard when that came up.
It's kind of like a bunch of goons in an 80s action movie walking forward. You're like, I love that stuff. So that's right up my alley. I actually distinctly remember that being one of my favorite parts of the episode. So yeah, he makes quick work of the goons Pokemon. And then he heads into like the control room of the facility.
Also, sorry to keep going back to that.
If there's something I'm overlooking, hit me.
The fact that I understand a Dragonite uses Flamethrower, right?
Mm-hmm.
To take out the goons, and Magnemite was the only one that survived was kind of hilarious. I don't know if Magnemite knows Sturdy as a Pokemon ability and just held on to 1 HP, but I thought that was just so... Of all the Pokemon that got Flamethrown, he was the one that survived the blast, and it was just kind of funny.
I'm like the target audience for this in terms of I'm just like, oh my god, he's shooting Flamethrower, let's go. It just completely goes over my head. I'm just in it for the ride. I'm like, get him, Lance, get him. You know what I mean? you're correct, but I'm like the ignorant viewer who just wants to see Pokemon attack each other in this regard, like in this episode.
Oh no, it was great. It's just it's all these things are just so funny and ironic that you just need to laugh because it's part of its charm.
Yes, it's kind of pulpy. Like I think the Looker episode is very much like this too. I think this whole series is almost pulpy in terms of like if you don't understand what pulpy means, it's like. A little bit larger than life. Some of the dialogue's kind of heavy-handed and corny, but like for the sake of it, you know.
It's intended that way.
Yes.
It wasn't like, oh, they try to make it cool and failed, thus now. No, they intended it to be this way from the beginning.
It's almost like a subversion of cool, if that makes sense. We head into the control room for real this time. He battles the Team Rocket general, and the general throws out a Weezing, which Dragonite just smashes the heck out of it. He nails it good. He gets both the general and the Weezing in one blow, I believe, effectively taking them both out.
Yep, because Dragonite's one big badass in this episode.
He's a G. So the next thing Dragonite Lance tells Dragonite to go ahead, because he sees that there are electrodes being used to power this machine. He's like, we can't be having that. So Dragonite smashes the ever-loving heck out of Team Rocket's computers, and he just stomps them. He's just stomping through huge sheets of metal. It's awesome.
Unstoppable.
Yeah, it just makes him look like the strongest thing ever, which is super cool. This is officially where I kind of went into like dork mode, where I was just like, oh, so cool.
Well, it's also great seeing a Pokemon so underrated in the anime as Dragonite actually playing a role of a powerful Pokemon. Because we've seen Dragonite multiple times in the series, but he never does anything in the normal anime.
Well, he's so cute and squishy looking. Like, he's like the cutest version of a dragon you can believe. And to just see him get all stern and stomp through stuff is wonderful.
It's just the best, yeah.
It's like gosh, what was that children's show about the dragons?
Pete the Dragon?
No. It's like watching a character from Dragon Tales stomp through a machine. It's just nothing. It just works so well. It's so wonderful.
It's really good, yeah.
So anyways, they free the electrodes, and they free the electrodes, and it's the machine's dead, I guess. Sorry. Oh, God. A little bit loopy right now.
The Electros do break free, and as soon as they break free, they notice the Team Rocket General Grunt or boss, and immediately proceed to self-destruct or explode, which is kind of hilarious.
Then we cut to Lance staring out over the Lake of Rage as Red Gyarados howls at the moon, I guess?
Yeah.
Did you cut off there?
No, I'm here.
Okay, great. So Red Gyarados is howling at the moon, and then the episode ends. So I forgot to mention, we caught a little glimpse of the player character from Pokemon Gold and Silver there, Ethan, which is pretty fun. I guess this is the episode where I fully came to terms with, like, these aren't going to be connecting really in a super meaningful way. And I enjoy the individual Gaiden aspect of these episodes. Gaiden meaning side story. This is a pretty fun episode. It's a little bit
really
like, I don't want to say inconsequential, but it all moves so fast. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just the result of it being so entertaining is it's just flying by at a blistering pace.
Yeah, it was 5 minutes of an action sequence, right? So it's like when you watch a martial arts movie, it can have the best story in the world, but you're really in it for the martial arts and the flashy stuff. And this is what we got out of this episode. It was practically Pokemon eye candy. It was a chance to see Lance and Dragonite just be there and take some names and kick some ass, and they ran out of bubblegum and they just make quick work of the whole Team Rocket base, and it was just fantastic.
It's, you know, it's almost like an 80s movie, and it's like the objective is really simple. Stop the computers, and then, you know, they beat up some bad guys, they beat up the biggest bad guy, and then they smash some computers, which is, you know, what more can you really ask for?
Yeah, it was great. I love it. This is definitely so far my favorite episode of Generations.
So we're on to the next, episode 5, and episode 5 opens with Silver from Gold and Silver walking angstily along a road, and then Looker approaches him and confronts him and immediately asks, like, "Hey kid, is Giovanni your dad?" Which is pretty rude.
Yeah, it's like, dude, shush! It's, I want the world to know.
Excuse me, is your dad Hitler? Is your dad Pokemon Hitler? Excuse me. Can you... Hey, kid. It's quite rude. Quite rude of you, Looker. Someone needs to teach that dude some manners. Anyways, we get a flashback to the radio tower incident from Gold and Silver. You have a grunt calling out to Giovanni using the radio and like, "Giovanni, come to us if you're still out there." And alas... he does not come out. He stays in hiding. And Looker reiterates at this point that Giovanni is indeed very charismatic. I think
this
kind
of makes you wonder why he's really finding, you know, trying to find Giovanni here. It does give me a sense of those movies where the villain and the cops are like in a deep, twisted relationship in the sense that they depend on each other, and it's like
Batman and the Joker.
Batman and the Joker, right? Where they're obsessed with each other.
Maybe he's just a fanboy. Maybe he's like, "Oh my god, can you sign my baseball cards?" Like that kind of.
Oh my god, I just want to join Team Rocket. That's all I want to do.
Looker would be pretty. I mean, he could probably get in a Team Rocket. He could be like a higher ranking general. He's got so much information on the police.
Yeah, I don't think the bar is that high to enter Team Rocket.
No, not at all. Silver says that he hasn't seen his dad in 3 years, and then we get a flashback to Giovanni leaving, and Silver yelling at him, calling him weak, because he could gather all these cronies that he wants, but when it comes down to it, he's not a very competent, I mean, he could get taken down by a kid, which is true. I mean, everything he says is true. It's like maybe simplifying it a little bit, like, these are, one of those kids is, you know, now the champion of the Elite Four, so cut him a little bit of slack.
And this is obviously a callback to the scene that we get from Heart Gold Soul Silver, right? Where if you manage to get a Celebi and you bring it out to the Shrine of Time, you're able to see this flashback. I believe it's Is it Gold and Silver, or maybe this was in Gen 5?
This is in... So what were you saying?
I can't recall the event.
The event's in Gen 4. It's in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. It was the Celebi in 20... Yeah. I think it was like a 2011 a Celebi or something.
Yeah.
I actually really love that event. Because... I mean, that's as explicit as ever gets in the games because, you know, it shows you at that point. But this is this might be like a lesser known fact to some. It's entirely possible that people play all of Gold Silver without realizing that.
This could be completely new to a lot of people because the only ever mention that Silver is the son of Giovanni is in that moment. I don't know if maybe it gets alluded to at some point in the game, but there's never a straight line to connect these two characters, and it was through this one event that you can unlock on the game if you have Celebi that you know the truth, which is that Silver is Giovanni's son.
Yeah, I would almost be interested to see like if you showed somebody, it's like, hey, did you play Gold and Silver? Check this out, and just see if they had any sort of inkling if that was the case, because I don't I don't think it was terribly explicitly stated in the games.
No,
but
I don't think so either.
Silver says that he's doing things his own way now, and that he's got his Pokemon by his side, and he made it to the Pokemon League. His final statement is that I decided to stay out of my old man's affairs, and he thinks that his father has decided to do the same. So this episode leads me to believe this Giovanni guy, even if he's charismatic, he seems like a real jerk face.
Oh, he is. He is.
Do you think Team Rocket knows that he's a deadbeat dad? Do you think they know that?
Who knows that?
Do you think like his cronies know? Like, hey man, that's like. Do you think they know that he left his kid? Are they like?
Oh, I think they don't care.
It's like that's not cool, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's why it comes in with evil organization where it's just that's not really what they care for. I mean, Giovanni paints that the picture of this man that doesn't care for anything but wealth and power, which perfectly would resonate to a kid who has that type of parent, is just being completely ignored because you're obviously not high up on the list of priorities of your father.
Of
world domination and being rich are the top two priorities. You're not even in the top 10. So we're seeing this absolutely speaks more of Silver than it does of Giovanni, because it pictures a really clear picture of Giovanni from the get-go. He's a bad man. But on Silver, this is not just a kid who came into the professor's lab and stole a Pokemon. This is a kid crying out for help because he's the son of one of the most dangerous, most wanted men in Pokemon world. And he's just looking for an outlet to escape that life.
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of nuance to that character, which is like a lot of characters in Pokemon, not lack, but they just don't get like the same kind of the same kind of backstory. And I have to say, this Silver seems like the most pleasant incarnation I've ever seen of him. Because in the games, he's standoffish, to say the least.
Yeah. He's a bully is what he is during the game. And why is it a bully? Well, because everything starts back at home.
Yeah, man.
And this is our public service.
It's nurture. It's nurture, man.
And it also paints a different stroke on your rival, right? When you begin the first generation, you have a guy who had a relatively nice life. He was just arrogant and full of himself, and that was his flaw. Here you find a person that might seem arrogant but when you realize there's a lot more depth in the sense that, no, wait, this is a problem child versus Gary, well, not Gary, sorry, versus Blue, who's not a problem child.
He's a spoiled
child.
He
came from a really great family. He's spoiled. That's the problem, exactly. And he's just arrogant and full of himself. And that is his character flaw.
Well,
Silver's character flaws are very different.
The legacy that Blue has is like a legacy of excellence. In his episodes, like, talking about how he doesn't want to be compared to his grandfather, even though his grandfather is a like widely respected professor and like he's a legend. You know, Professor Oak is a legend. Like he hands out every new new trainer, their Pokemon, and he's beloved. Whereas Silver is also in the same way, like not trying to be his father. He says in this episode, I've got my Pokemon by my side, whereas his father explicitly states in his episode, Pokemon are nothing more than tools for to help Team Rocket and world domination, you know? All right, and on to episode 6. Episode 6 is a throwback to a character that I basically forgot about. You've seen.
Yes.
Anyways.
A lot of people did.
Homie is going after Suicune because that's what he does. That is his character, yep. Is that he likes Suicune. So he goes to the Burn Tower and he's like, why won't you come back, Suicune? And then we get a flashback to what happened to the Burn Tower, which is, again, a piece of the Pokemon franchise that might be forgotten, because this is a really pretty dark backstory.
It definitely goes dark in this one, yes.
So we see what happens at the Burn Tower, which is these three Pokemon were trapped inside of this, the tower, which was once a beautiful monument. What's up?
Oh, yeah, no, I was saying that these three unknown Pokemon, which basically look like, what's the name of the legendary? Oh, my God. The legendary, the perfect one. Oh, Zygarde.
Oh, perfect. Oh, perfect. Godlike? Zygarde. Like, are you talking like 50% or whatever?
He 50% form or 10% form, which is a dog. So right, three of those died on that, died on that tower, because God knows they're just three government pinchers. I had no idea what that those silhouettes were about.
That is a really interesting take. It's the Pokemon. Like,
no, trust me, it's that. I'm making stuff up.
No, I believe. Hey,
it's,
man,
hilarious.
You sold
hilarious
me.
Because they definitely look like the Zygarde 10% forms, the Doberman 10%. Pinter form.
I gotta get my forms down.
It's kind of hilarious.
That's a really, really good take. Three of those burned down in this tower. And Ho-Oh comes and revives them using his rainbow magical powers, sparkle energy, happiness, friendship, or whatever it is that Yusin says. This is a...
God, this now adds to another theory. So Ho-Oh came by and revived these three dogs. What if Ho-Oh came into the first episode of Pokemon and revived Ash after being hit by the thunder?
That's a pretty good dude. Write it now. Write that fan theory right now.
Mind blown.
What's the premier Pokemon fan theory website?
I have no idea.
It's good. You know what? Just put it right on Bubblepedia. It's fact.
Yes.
Fact as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I was just thinking of other instances where Ho-Oh could come in and intervene. Yeah. You know, I think Ho-Oh came and intervened in that one episode where Ash has to hit it, that hitting machine or the pitching machine, and he's batting with. But remember when Rock yells, "He's batting 1,000!" maybe Ho-Oh bestowed him with some magical hitting energy. Do you remember that episode? I love that episode.
I do remember vaguely some parts of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Anyways,
tangent.
Maybe I'll put that. I'll put every episode I've mentioned into a Puckle movie night at some point, and it's just like that one. We'll just play that one three times.
Ridiculous Pokemon episodes ever.
What's that? Oh,
top ten most ridiculous episodes ever.
Top 10 most powerful Pokemon, and it's a picture of Ash with a baseball bat.
Oh God!
We should do terrible countdowns.
We should.
I'm gonna for the second year of Puckle Movie Club. I'm gonna on every episode. I'm gonna have a terrible top five, which is just like horribly factually incorrect. Anyways, back to this. So
it is the fact that Pikachu actually mated with that ketchup bottle.
There you go. And then we got Pikachu. Pea ketchup. ketchup chew. You can take your pick.
Yep.
You can't leave him in the daycare for too long, man. Anyways, so the people of Ekrotik throw rocks at the Pokemon because they came back from the dead and they're like scared of that because they're pansies. So the Pokemon flee and Yusin's like, Suicune, why won't you come back? And then he does. And then one of Ho-Oh's feathers falls to the ground. And then that's the episode.
No, you were talking about episodes that nothing happened. This is an episode that nothing happened. It was just like, oh, okay, that just went on.
It's just there's no arc or anything. It's just him recounting. It's him standing in front of the burned tower. He's like, I hope thing happens. Let me tell you a story. And then the thing happens. Which is fine. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, if you know, and it's kind of the nature of having a show like this is that there's going to be varying quality of episodes. And it is not that this one's terrible or anything. It's just, it's a little bit goofier, you know?
And again, it brings, it's part of its freaking charm. It's just that we talk about this because when we were talking about, I remember we reviewed the movie and we talk about these parts in a movie and it's kind of taken in a different aspect because it's a 2-hour movie and things don't work. Things are way too goofy that they just don't work. But here, it's just perfect. It's like the goofiness or the ridiculousness of it just works to its advantage and you just can't feel anything else but just being utterly in love with it because of it.
Absolutely. It's the things that, because nothing's really, really bad in this, because it's not like they have to fill time because the episodes are so small, but the things that are a little bit awkward or goofy can't possibly overstay their welcome because they're only 4 minutes long. So like,
exactly. That's,
it's like,
exactly,
if this was like 10 minutes of like a movie, I'd be like, come on. But because it's 4 minutes, like, it's like this little, it's this little goofy vignette and you're like, all right, on to the next one.
So, yep, I'm in it. Let's go.
Yeah. So I think we could move on to our what we think of this oddity. And I love it. I really, really love what's happened so far in Pokemon Generations. It's just so unique. It's a unique thing in the Pokemon franchise. And a different, you know how like Pokemon Origins is, let's talk about it this way. Pokemon Origins is like Mario, and Pokemon Generations is like Luigi. You know what I mean? In terms of, you know, Origins is like this, it's like the standard for which all Pokemon things should be set to. It's like, this is the pinnacle of the serious real deal.
Yes.
Like, we're taking Pokemon seriously. And Pokemon Generations is ridiculous. He's running around a mansion with a vacuum sucking up ghosts. Like,
Origins is the hero we needed, while Generations is the hero we just want to root for.
Yes, absolutely. That's yes, it's perfect. It's exactly what it needs to be. I have not seen anything beyond this point. I hope it only gets weirder.
It does. It does get weirder. Thank you have goodness. Not seen any future episodes yet?
No, this is it.
Oh, it will get good. It will get not only weirder, it does get pretty darn dark.
Sweet.
Like, very dark.
Awesome. I'm stoked. I really love this episodic format, and it's so easy to consume. You can just go right through it. But it's a serious departure from Origins, and that's totally cool. I would have been honestly pretty disappointed if they had just done Origins 2. Because it's, you know, they already did that, and they did it as well as they could have possibly ever done. You know what I mean? And I don't really.
And we don't need a protagonist anymore. We already have that. This is what we wanted. This is what we didn't know that we wanted. And that is a look at the Pokemon universe, not surrounding a particular character. This is just what happens in this world.
I want
this
an entire thing.
This is what happens on a normal day.
I want an entire episode about the dude who always does better than you at the bug catching contest and how crazy his bug catching contest must have gone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to drudge up the depths of the Pokemon franchise. I want to see like the weirdest of the weird side stories. If they ever do a season 2, I hope it's just straight comedy the entire time, because not that this is comedy, but it's just weird. Go weird with it, man. I love it. I'm loving it
and
so
they
far.
Do. It really is. Generation has been one of my highlights of this year, and it's exciting to talk about it now with you here, Ethan, and there's so much good to come. Wait till you get there.
Oh my goodness.
And then the last episode will air next week, or this week, the day, or tomorrow actually. So after you, if you're listening to this on Thursday, stay tuned tomorrow for the last episode of Pokemon Generations.
So we'll be covering more of this in the future, because I have to, because I just love it so much, I gotta keep going. Next month we'll be hitting you with an episode about the Rise of Darkrai, which is the first in a trilogy of movies. For the next Generations episode, Jushiro will be joining me once again have a giggle fit over how amazing this is. Thanks again, Jushiro.
Thank you.
Thank you, listener, for listening. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Once again, put that Puckle Movie Club in the subject line. I'm happy to announce, if you're listening to this the week of the 24th, we will be doing a Puckle Movie Night on December 24th. So yeah, we're going to be watching some holiday-themed episodes, holidays, please, so everyone's welcome to join. Come in then. It's going to be at 5? What do you think, Jushiro? Jushiro, what do you think? Do you think we do 4 or 5?
Eastern Standard Time?
Eastern.
Eastern, 5 sounds fine.
Okay, it's going to be at 5 o'clock Eastern. Is it standard right now, or is it daylight? It's standard, right?
Yep.
It's gonna.
I know that many people will be with their families, but this is going to be an escape for all of you who don't like your family to be able to come and join with us, your true Poco family.
And even if you do love your family, sometimes you just need a break because, you know, Auntie Barbara's putting your crazy Christmas sweater on that she knitted for an entire year. Yeah. It's like, Barbara, it's great, but I haven't been into Power Rangers since I was 5. You know what I mean? And she's got the Pink Ranger on. It's like, I mean, Pink Ranger's dope and all, but like...
Yeah, you kind of messed up a little bit. Phoebe with her, you know, crazy conspiracy theories and all that. You can just join us here in some Puckle goodness.
So yeah, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, December 24th. Be there, please, because we want to see you. From beneath the ruins of Elf, I have been Ethan,
and I'm Lord Jushiro,
and it's closing time. Flip side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.